The 2014 Winter Olympics begin on February 7th in Sochi, Russia. Until this week, talk about the Games focused on worries that there might not be enough snow and international criticism and threats to boycott the Games because of Russia's law banning what it calls homosexual propaganda. On Monday, President Vladimir Putin reversed course and said that everyone will be welcome to Sochi. As to the snow, there are no certain answers, which is pretty much what life is like for hundreds of athletes vying for a spot on the U.S. Olympic team. One of the athletes competing for a chance at gold in Sochi is New Hampshire's own Christopher Lamb. In the coming months, he's going to be contending for one of only four spots on the United States men's ski jumping team. Chris has been working with the Boys and Girls Club to inspire them, and also they're helping to support his trip to Sochi. He's going to be at the Barley House in Concord tomorrow night to help cover the costs of his push for the Games. Chris, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you.
Ski jumping is so thrilling to watch, but I can't imagine actually doing it. When did you get into it?
I started ski jumping 18 years ago now when I was six.
Did you have any idea what you were in for?
No. At that point, it was just, you know, I just loved ski jumping and was willing to do whatever it took to be one of the great ski jumpers that I saw on TV when I was younger.
Why do you love it? I mean, what does it feel like to be up there?
It's an incredible feeling when you actually have a good jump. That's something that a lot of ski jumpers would tell you doesn't happen as often as we would like. We're constantly working to be better, so it's kind of like our jumps at the moment are maybe good, but they can always be better, and it's mostly our average jumps that we're having, and then all of a sudden we'll have one jump or two jumps in a training session that just has this kind of this extra energy to it that's a really special feeling, and when that happens, it's you can't really explain how that feels, how good that feels. It's just it's like somebody lifts you up by the seat of your pants and throws you out, and it's really like flying when you're on a big enough hill.
How high do you get?
We don't go so much high as far, but on the biggest jumps, probably, I think, 5 to 10 meters, maybe, off the ground. On the biggest jumps, we do get pretty high off the ground, but they're designed now so that you don't get so high that it's dangerous.
You know, it's my observation that in the Olympics, alpine skiing, Nordic skiing, freestyle skiing, snowboarding are really popular events, and those are the athletes that are made into kind of stars. Now, does that rub you ski jumpers the wrong way?
In a way, it does, because we're kind of in a point right now in with United States ski jumping that we're really trying to build recognition for our sport in a time that we're kind of almost losing it, or we have lost a lot of recognition. So it's hard to see these sports that get so much publicity when we're putting so much energy and see so many other people putting energy into ski jumping to help it succeed. And yeah, so it is kind of challenging.
How does the U.S. rank as compared to other countries in ski jumping?
At the moment, we are not one of the strongest countries. Mm-hmm. We're a relatively young team, one of the youngest teams out there, and so we do have results that show that we are capable of competing with the best in the world. One of my teammates, Nick Alexander from Lebanon, this summer was amongst the top 15 in the world in the World Cup, the Summer Grand Prix, multiple times. So,
wow, two champs from New Hampshire.
Yeah, we actually have three. I would like to recognize that.
Who's the other one?
Nick Farrell from Andover. He's also from Andover, New Hampshire. So we've got three guys. And actually this summer at the national championships in Salt Lake, we swept the podium. So that was pretty neat.
Well, back to this idea that it's not so popular here. Now, I read in your bio that you actually went to Norway to train. Is that why? That you get some respect in Norway?
Yeah, I spent 3 years living and training in Norway. And the idea behind that was at a point in my career where I was looking for some new inspiration. And to have the opportunity to go to a country where ski jumping was born in Norway, and train with them was a really big opportunity. and the level of training and the education about ski jumping, the knowledge behind it, is just, it's a lot higher there.
We're speaking with Chris Lamb. He's a high-ranking ski jumper, and he's hoping to get a spot on the U.S. men's ski jumping team and go to Sochi, Russia, in the beginning of 2014, which is a hard, hard road. And what are your chances, actually, to make the Olympic team? And you know, it must be tough competing with people that you train with and are your friends.
It is tough, and we have probably six or seven guys trying out for this team this winter, and the most important competitions start in the beginning of December. We travel over to Europe to start competing in the international competitions there, Continental Cup and World Cup, and based on our results in those competitions, that's what's going to decide the team.
So this travel to Europe, you, I'm guessing your family, or at least some of your family go, it's a pretty expensive endeavor.
Yeah, it is.
How do you fund it? I mean, I see skiers with sponsorships from BP or, you know, Columbia Outdoor Gear. And from what I can tell, it's the Boys and Girls Club that is helping you. You know, no disrespect to the Boys and Girls Club, but there's not a lot of sort of financial firepower behind them.
No, definitely not. Our team is somewhat funded, but not enough to fund all the athletes. So we have to reach out to local companies and people who are willing to help a small sport like ski jumping. So I have one sponsor out of Portland, Maine, Northland Enterprise. It's a real estate development company.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Boys and Girls Club are helping me out, and we're working together kind of in a way to that I can go there and try to inspire the kids. I'm going to talk to them this week a little bit, and then they're going to help me with getting some publicity for this fundraiser that we're having at the Barley House on Wednesday.
Even the most disciplined, most positive athletes don't always make what they're after. So what would you do if you don't make the 2014 games, or do you never even think about that because you don't want to let it in?
Well, it definitely comes into my mind. And, well, I just have to recognize that this journey is a lot more than making the Olympic team, and that through 18 years of being a ski jumper and 7 years being on the national team, that I've gotten so much out of the experience without going to the Olympics, and that going to the Olympics would just be icing on the cake. You know, I'm still gaining a lot from the experience, no matter what.
Christopher Lamb, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Chris is going to be at the Barley House tomorrow night to raise money for his journey to the 2014 Winter Olympics in Sochi, Russia. He'd like to be a member of the U.S. men's ski jumping team. For more information on the event and on Chris, go to wordofmouthradio.org. Coming up after a break, inventing the shot clock. We're going to hear about two changes to the sport of basketball that transformed games from a ball-hogging bore to the popular sport we know today. That story when Word of Mouth continues.